die herrlich leuchtet mir die Natur, die glänzt die Sonne, die lacht die Flur, es dringen Blüten aus jedem Zweig und tausend Stimmen aus dem Gestreich und Freude und Wonne aus jeder Brust, o Erd, o Sonne, o Glück, o Lust.
How marvelously does nature shine for me! How the sun gleams, how the meadow laughs! Blossoms burst forth from every branch, and a thousand voices from the bushes. And joy and bliss from every breast, O earth, O sun, O happiness, O joy! O love, O darling, so golden fair as morning clouds on yonder heights! You bless marvellously the fresh field in a midst of blossoms, the full world. My Gesang, sometimes known as My Lied. It was one of the earliest completed settings that Beethoven made of the poetry of Johann Wolfgang Goethe. As the esteemed song accompanist and vocal scholar and author Graham Johnson revealed in the first part of this two-part feature, in which we're exploring the byways as well as the highways of Beethoven's substantial heritage of song compositions, for many years earlier in his life, the composer had attempted to set poetry by Goethe, whom he revered deeply as a writer, even if he was critical of his social attitudes. At last, he was now finding a way to satisfy his own extremely high standards in his wishes to capture some of the bold and psychologically searching qualities of Goethe's pioneering work. In 1809, he made his setting of a poem from a novel by Goethe, which was to have a powerful impact on many poets and musicians through the 19th century. Kennst du das Land comes from Wilhelm Meister's Lehrjahre. Literally, that translates Wilhelm Meister's apprenticeship, but more accurately, it really means Wilhelm Meister's years of enlightening, as the merchant businessman Wilhelm Meister becomes increasingly engrossed in the world of the arts, which he is deeply attracted to and also disturbed by. Kennst du das Land? Do you know the land? Is sung by the strangely enigmatic and waif-like Mignon. She's a girl of around 13 years old who has been rescued by Wilhelm Meister from a travelling troupe of acrobats who had kidnapped her from her home in Italy so that they could use her as an attraction in their act travelling the world. Meister is deeply fascinated by Mignon, who, it seems, from what he discovers, fell into the hands of the troupe when her father died. She has been violated by some of them, and Meister feels highly protective towards her. For her part, she becomes very attached to him, in a way, though, that is sometimes ambiguous, as it seems his feelings to her really are. And what she is trying to tell him in this song is now explained for us by the artist who is going to perform it for us, the prize-winning young mezzo-soprano, Natalie Perez.
I think the mystery is part of the point. I don't think she knows herself, but the fact that in this poem she calls him lover, protector and father. And you can be a lover without there being a sexual attraction, can't you? And I think maybe the fact that she's that figure that is pure in many ways, so she doesn't represent a sexual being, really, and that androgynous side of her is also a way to show this. And I think he just represents many things for her, and maybe all the faces of the male influence in her life. And home, I would say that he represents home. And in this poem, she says, "Kennst du das Land? Do you know the country?" And a very wise man, Dean Larson, who left us, told me once that this means, "Do you know me?"
Kennst du das Land? Do you know the land? Knowest thou where the lemon blossom grows? In foliage dark, the orange golden glows. A gentle breeze blows from the azure sky. Still stands the myrtle and the laurel high. Dost thou know it well? 'Tis there, 'tis there, would I with thee, O my beloved fair. Knowest the house, its roof on columns fine? Its hall glows brightly and its chambers shine, and marble figures stand and gaze at me. What have they done, O wretched child, to thee? Dost thou know it well? 'Tis there, 'tis there. Would I with thee, O my protector, fair? Knowest thou the mountain with the misty shrouds? The mule is seeking passage through the clouds. In caverns dwells the dragon's ancient brood. The cliff rocks plunge under the rushing flood. Dost thou know it well? 'Tis there, 'tis there, leads our path. O Father, let us fare.
Cast
Kennst du das Land? one of the songs that Mignon sings from Goethe's Wilhelm Meister's Lehrjahre, set by Beethoven. And in the greatest contrast, Beethoven made this brilliantly zany setting coming up now of Mephistopheles' Song of the Flea from Goethe's Faust. There once was a king who had a large flea whom he loved not a bit less than his very own son. He called his tailor, and the tailor came directly. "Here, make clothing for this knight, and cut him trousers too." In silk and satin was the flea now made up. He had ribbons on his clothing, and he had also a cross there, and had soon become a minister, and had a large star. Then his siblings became great lords and ladies of the court as well. And the lords and ladies of the court were greatly plagued. The queen and her ladies-in-waiting were pricked and bitten, and they dared not flick or scratch them away. But we flick and crush them as soon as one bites.
Es war einmal ein König, der hat einen großen Floh. Die liebt er gar nicht wenig, als wie seinen eigenen Sohn. Da rief er seinen Schneider, der Schneider kam heran, war bis dem Junker Kleider und bis ihm Hosen an. War ihr nun angetan, hat der Bände auf dem Kleide, hat auch ein Kreuz daran, und war sogleich Minister und hat einen großen Stern, da wurden seine Geschwister bei Hof auf große Herren. Sehr geplagt, die Königin und die Zofe, gestochen und genagt. Und durften sie nicht knicken und weg sie jogen nicht. Wir knicken und ersticken doch noch gleich, wenn einer sticht. Wir knicken und ersticken doch gleich, wenn einer sticht. Ja, wir knicken und ersticken doch gleich, wenn einer sticht. Ja, wir knicken und ersticken doch gleich, wenn einer sticht.
Flohlied, the Song of the Flea, from Goethe's Faust, set by Beethoven, and performed there by Ian Bostridge, accompanied by Sir Antonio Pappano. It's part of a new recording they've made for the Beethoven anniversary year, and their disc also includes a watershed work not only in Beethoven's life, but in the history of song, An die ferne Geliebte, to the distant beloved. It's a set of songs to poems by Alois Jaiteles, published in 1816, and the impact of this on the musical world was tremendous, as Graham Johnson explains.
An die ferne Geliebte, opus 98, in the proximity of the Archduke trio and the famous opus 96 G major violin sonata, but there it is, something that astounded and discomforted poor young Schubert, who had been working away since 1814 with the belief that at least in this little corner of the lead, the great master living up the road was not going to overshadow him. And then suddenly in 1816 we get the appearance not only of a song, but a set of songs and a song group that contrives to be a cycle where there are recapitulations and where the music flows seamlessly from one song to the next. It's not only marvellous music, but it's also groundbreaking. And Schubert indeed spent the rest of his compositional life trying to match up to that idea in various ways, coming up in the end with the narrative cycle of Schöne Müllerin in 1823 and then 1827, Winterreiser. In a sense, I don't believe that Schubert would have been so concerned to make cycles songs greater than the sum of their parts. If it hadn't been for Beethoven setting this example.
And the example that Beethoven set in An die ferne Geliebte also heralded a new style in his songwriting, as the distinguished tenor Ian Bostridge, who'll be singing the entire cycle for us in a few minutes, now explains.
They've got a sort of gentleness about them, but then this incredible ecstatic ending, which is quite tricky vocally. But they're very lyrical. They're very not at all the Beethoven of, I don't want to say bombast, because that sounds negative, but, you know, the sort of heroic grand Beethoven, there's none of that. There are moments of the sort of transcendent, ineffable Beethoven of that you find so much in the late piano music and the quartet in the last verse. There's something quite mystical about it. But in general, the Hot Cycle is sort of gentle and lyrical, yeah.
I have the audacity to suggest to you that maybe the last song, which I always find as a surprise, is almost a kind of defiant resignation, if that doesn't sound like
absolutely, at the end of it, yeah. But the beginning of that last poem, it's one of the great moments in Western classical music for me. I mean, it's this moment where you get the end of the previous song and you get... And it's just incredibly moving and mysterious in the way that Schubert's mysterious.
An die ferne Geliebte, to the distant beloved. In the first song, he is sitting on a hillside, looking at the distant spot where they first met, and feeling the pain of separation. He decides that he will sing songs to convey the feelings from one loving heart to the other. In the second song, he identifies himself and his feelings with the landscape and the misty hilltops, sending his suffering into the valley where the soft winds can calm it, and the inward pain of his love into the forest depths. In these he can always be with her, even though he cannot go to her. In the third song, with this thought, he bids the clouds and the brook to greet her, and the little birds to sing to her of his complaint, and the west wind to carry her his sighs like the last rays of the sun, and the brook will carry his tears of love to her. In the fourth song he is enraptured, thinking how the clouds and the birds will see her. Let him be born with them. These breezes will play upon her breast and in her hair. Let him share in that delight, and she shall see herself in the brook, and the picture will flow back to him. In the fifth song, in lovely May, when nature is at the full, and the swallows are building their nests for love to dwell within their bridal beds, and everything that winter has separated is again united with its mate, it is only their own love which has no springtime, and all they have are tears. In the sixth song, so he will send her the songs he has written, and she will sing them to the lute when the red of sunset falls across the blue sea and behind the distant mountain. She will sing what he has sung, artlessly, from the fullness of his heart, out of his longing, and these songs will vanquish what keeps them so far apart, and will join one loving heart to the other.
Sieht sich spähend in das blaue Nebelland, nach den fernen Triften sehend, wo ich dich, Geliebte, fand. Weit bin ich von dir geschieden,
kannst du nicht sehen, der zu dir so glühend eint. Und die Seife, sie verwehen in dem Raume, der uns teilt. Dringen, nichts dir liebe Bote sein. Singen will ich Lieder singen, die dir klagen meine Pein. Entweichet jeder Raum und jede Zeit und ein liebend Herz erreichet, was ein liebend Herz geweiht.
Werden dich, o Huldin, sehen.
Glück. Diese Weste werden spielen, scherzen dir um Wangen und Brust, in den Seidenlocken wühlen. Teilt ich mit euch diese Lust. Hin zu dir von jenen Hügeln emsig dieses Bächlein eilt, wird ihr Bild sich in dir spiegeln. Fließt zurück dann und verweilt, fließt zurück dann und verweilt, ja und verweilt. Sich die Bächen und Rinde. Die Schwalbe, die kehrt zum wirtlichen Dach, sie baut sich so emsig ihr bräuchlich Gemach. Die Liebe soll wohnen da drinnen, die Liebe soll wohnen da drinnen. Sie bringt sich geschäftig von Kreuz und von quer, manch weicheres Stück zu dem Brot mit ihr, manch wärmendes Stück für die Kleinen. Nun wohnen die Gatten beisammen so treu, was Winter geschieden verbannt und der Mai, was Liebe, das weiß ihr zu einen, was Liebe, das weiß ihr zu einen. Es kehrt ihr Maien, es blüht die Au, die Lüfte, sie wehen so mild und so lau, nur ich kann nicht ziehen von hinnen. Wenn alles, was Liebe der Frühling vereint, nur unserer Liebe kein Frühling erscheint, und Tränen sind all ihr Gewinn. Und Tränen sind all ihr Gewinn. Ja, all ihr Gewinn. Thank you.
Herz erreichet, was sein liebend Herz geweiht. Und ein liebend Herz geweiht, was ein liebend Herz geweiht. Dann vor diesen Lieden feichet, was geschieden uns so weit. Und ein liebend Herz erreichet, was ein Herz geweiht. Was ein liebend Herz geweiht.
An die Ferne Geliebte, performed by Ian Bostridge, accompanied by Sir Antonio Papano. The songs that we've heard so far in this second part of Beethoven's songs, Byways as well as Highways, are well known. They belong to the Highways department of the composer's output, so to speak. But as we heard in the first part of this feature, the vast majority of Beethoven's substantial oeuvre of song compositions aren't often heard, and they include some of the greatest and most original of his creations.
It's very interesting to see that the full riches of Beethoven's song composition requires research. One of the problems about Beethoven's Lieder is that when people buy the Peters edition of the complete Beethoven Lieder, one thinks that one's got the lot. The Peters edition does not contain the full corpus, as very often, I have to say, we discover, young scholars, when they proudly own the complete Peters and discover that there are many songs not printed in. If you want to have the songs that are available, you have to get the more recently published Henley complete edition, and then many of the songs that I'm discussing will actually be more available. But those who are truly interested in these things should look at www.unheardbeethoven.org. There is a site which deals with this particular thing. So some of my favourites, An die Hoffnung, Tietke, two amazing songs, very different, an earlier version from 1804 to 5, and then a return version. Both Schubert and Beethoven returned to elusive texts when they feel they can do better by them second time round. That's 1815.
An die Hoffnung, to hope. In the first of his two settings, Beethoven adapted just the second, third and fourth verses. You who so gladly celebrates on sacred nights and gently and softly veils the grief that torments a tender soul. O hope, raised through you, let the sufferer feel that there above an angel counts his tears. When long-hushed beloved voices are silenced, when underneath dead branches memory sits desolate, then come closer to where your forsaken one mourns and, looking around at midnight, supports himself against sunken urns. And if he looks up to accuse fate when, departing with his last days, the last rays set, then permit him to see, at the rim of this earthly dream, the light of the cloud's hem from the nearby sun.
Die du so gern in heiligen Nächten feierst und sanft und
weich den Gram verschleierst, der eine zarte Seele quält. O Hoffnung, lass du dich emporgehoben, den Dulder Schicksal an zu klagen, wenn scheinend über seinen Tagen die letzten Strahlen untergehen. Dann lass ihn um den Rand des Erdentraumes das Leuchten eines Wolkensammels.
And for Beethoven's second adaptation of An die Hoffnung to Hope, he included, at the beginning, the first verse. Is there a God? Will he some day fulfil the promises for which longing cries out? Will before the court of the world this puzzle ever reveal itself? Man must hope. He does not ask.
Ein Gott sei. erfülle, was die Sehnsucht weinend sich verspricht. Ob vor irgendeinem Weltgericht sich dies rätselhafte Sein waffen soll der Mensch, ihr Fragen nicht.
An die Hoffnung, to hope. Words by Christoph Tietke, and that was Beethoven's second setting of the poem in 1815, 10 years after his first version. The following year, 1816, came An die ferne Geliebte, and then...
It's interesting that after he composed An die ferne Geliebte, he didn't compose many more songs. Beethoven did not continue to exert a terrifying presence on Schubert's life. That single cycle had been sufficient. But the one thing that Beethoven was occupied with in the years after 1816 to 1820 were George Thompson's commissions for folk song settings for voice and piano trio. There were 7 collections, including poetry by Robert Burns and other Irish and Scottish poets. And the 8th book was published 100 years later because Beethoven took it into his head to set Danish folk songs, Polish, Russian, Ukrainian, Swedish, Spanish, Hungarian. There was a side of him that, had he had the time or energy, would have wanted to write a world encyclopedia.
On my face, an Irish folk tune that was set by Beethoven, with newly commissioned words that were added afterwards by the Scottish poet Joanna Baillie. For the remainder of this programme now, we return, though, to our anchor in this anniversary celebration of Beethoven's songwriting, Graham Johnson, as he takes us through to the conclusion of our look at the composer's very substantial and vitally important canon of song compositions.
Beethoven once said, "So hoffe ich endlich zu schreiben, was mir und der Kunst das höchste ist." And he said that in 1827, towards the end of his life, "I hope that in the end I'll be able to write what is the greatest pinnacle, both for me and for the whole of art, Faust." He'd already set a great deal of wonderful Goethe. His engagement with poetry is different from Schubert. It's clumsier and slightly less refined and edgier. It's not so, well, I think we have to admit, because Schubert is Schubert, that Schubert was the greater genius in terms of the development of Lieder. But what Beethoven did in his own way, in terms of the desire to set it, when it did work, it worked extremely well and very memorably. And he was an honourable member, a really fully paid-up member of the great Lieder composers, not simply an unimportant adjunct. Yes, his great music, his quartets, his symphonies, well, they achieved a world fame that Schubert couldn't even aspire to, but the Lieder was part and parcel of what he regarded as important to say, important to do, and important to strive for. So even in this field, Beethoven has a wonderful and irreplaceable presence.
Auf den Sternen möcht sie sein. Ob der ihre Stürme toben, falsches Glück.
The last Lied that Beethoven composed was a setting of a poem by Heinrich Goebel in 1820. Abendlied unterem gestirnten Himmel, evening song under a starry heaven, evoking a revelation experienced through a starlit night. Its closing words are, "A gentle premonition creeps up on me from another world. Not much longer will last my earthly pilgrimage. Soon I will have attained my goal. Soon I will have risen up to you. I will soon reap at God's throne the beautiful reward of my earthly sorrows."
Baritone Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau singing Beethoven's Abendlied unter dem gestirnten Himmel, evening song under a starry sky, ending that two-part exploration of Beethoven's songs by John Talansky. John's guests were mezzo-soprano Natalie Perez and the tenor Ian Bostridge. You can podcast the lyric feature from the RTE radio player and other podcast platforms, and you can contact the programme by email features.lyricfm@rte.ie.